Has the Australian government become rabidly protectionist, perhaps even xenophobic? Or has it just taken a brave stand against a very real threat to the security of Australian listed companies? Today, the only thing that's certain is that opinion is deeply divided over Treasurer Wayne Swan's decision to sink the $8.4 billion takeover bid of the Australian Stock Exchange by Singapore's Stock Exchange. Supporters of the merger say the deal would have created a powerful financial services hub. But with the Singapore Stock Exchange controlled, more or less directly, by the Singapore government, questions about Australia's national interest were never far from the surface. To tease out some of the issues, we've brought together two people with impeccable credentials when it comes to their support for free markets, but who find themselves on opposing sides of this debate. Peter Swan is Professor of Finance at the Australian School of Business at the University of New South Wales, and I should point out he's no relation to Treasurer Wayne Swan. And we're also speaking with Paul Kerran. He's a Professor of Business Strategy at the Melbourne Business School at the University of Melbourne. Welcome to you both.
Evening, Peter.
Good evening.
Peter Swan, let's start with you. Let's start from the very beginning. Why do we care who owns the Australian Stock Exchange? Surely what matters is the market itself rather than the actual ownership of the stock exchange.
Well, because we want a free market, and there is no free market because the government lays down that no one can own more than 15% of the Australian Stock Exchange. This is unique. No other company in Australia's history that I'm aware of has such an anti-capitalistic, anti-free market limitation. So anything that comes out of this process, it has nothing to do with free markets.
Well, let's come to this process in a moment. Paul Kerran, should we care if the Singapore Stock Exchange or the Singapore government or anybody else owns the Australian Stock Exchange?
No, I think we have a very good regulatory system here, and that's capable of handling any of the so-called national interest concerns that Wayne Swan has raised. I'm basically for it because the acquisition premium is $2.3 billion. That's a benefit to ASX shareholders. Peter is right that if we didn't have the 15% cap, which I agree is silly, I agree with Peter, we should get rid of that, you may well get a higher bid. But the fact is that $2.3 billion of gain is available on the table now, which may not be available if the ASX says no.
And can you explain for me why is this company unique in the sense that there is a 15% cap on what shareholders can control?
Yeah, those caps are really just an historic legacy of really the time frame in which a number of companies were privatised. ASX was formerly government-owned about 20 years ago. Just like Telstra, just like Qantas, when those were privatised, part of the deal to get them through Parliament was have some caps. Telstra still has some caps.
No, I'm afraid you're wrong there, Paul. ASX was never government-owned. It was a mutual. It was owned by the brokers. And I think basically the management of the ASX wanted protection from hostile takeovers, but there may have been other considerations. Other exchanges like Singapore, like Amsterdam, have similar protection from large shareholders on the arguments that shareholder diversity or lack of control by any one shareholder would be a good thing. So that was the stated rationale.
Let's come back to this way that the ASX is structured and regulated in terms of the 15% cap in a moment. Let's talk about this deal first, this Singapore Stock Exchange deal. Wayne Swan has explained that he made the decision on the grounds of Australia's national interest. Peter Swan, what was he referring to, and do you buy his arguments?
Yes, I do, because this is not a political view. This is the view of the Foreign Investment Review Board, which is headed up by someone, Jock Phillips, I respect, and they've got good knowledge of markets and how things operate. And in particular, they understand how differently things operate in Singapore as opposed to here.
Now, you've been on the record as describing Singapore as a crony or state capitalist sort of enterprise. You're not a big fan of the way it does business.
No, I'm not, because it's very inefficient. It's basically run by bureaucrats for bureaucrats, and the sovereign wealth fund, Temasek, owns just about all the assets traded on the Singapore Exchange, which, of course, is one of the reasons it's very illiquid and very inefficient. And it's not there to create value. It's there to look after the parked billions from corrupt officials in Indonesia and elsewhere who've stored their wealth there out of the sight of the world.
Paul Keren, do you share those concerns, or do you have a different view?
No, I don't. I think it depends on how well we can regulate the system in Australia, regardless of how well it's owned. I do think that there could well be government or political or other considerations that are partly responsible for this bid, even though it is mainly, I think, 23% owned by Temasek, the Singaporese sovereign wealth fund. But I don't care really why they're buying it. If they're prepared to pay a big premium and we can regulate the Australian capital market, then I think that's fine. It's a little bit like when, you know, Kerry Packer got offered $1 billion by Alan Bond to buy Channel 9. He thought Alan Bond was an idiot, but he got $1 billion and he bought it back a couple of years later for a third of that. Here, I don't care if Singapore's being stupid. If they're prepared to pay that much amount of money and we can regulate our capital market appropriately, I've got no problem.
Well, could we regulate our capital market appropriately? Would we still have APRA and ASIC and the other regulators playing the role that they currently do if there was such a merger? I mean, you know, our regulatory system is something to be immensely proud of in this country, and would, you know, according to many, is one of the reasons why we avoided the global financial crash.
Yeah, I think we overstate how good our regulatory system is, actually. I think, frankly, we were lucky in the global financial crisis. But putting that to one side, a lot of the Australian Stock Exchange's former regulatory functions were transferred to ASIC. They should have been transferred a long time ago, but they now have been transferred. That's largely because there have been applications for competitor licences for market operators to compete with the Australian Stock Exchange, which is a long overdue potential improvement in our capital market, which, by the way, is another reason to be less concerned, given that there will be competitors who can operate markets in competition to the ASX. But I do think that given a lot of the regulatory functions have shifted to the ASX, then, you know, they can continue to exercise that oversight. If they still feel that ASX still has some so-called regulatory functions that might be an issue, well, Wayne Swan or FIRB can impose a condition on the Singapore Stock Exchange saying, well, we will only approve this on the condition that certain other functions are transferred to ASIC, for example, or any other conditions that they wish to impose.
Peter Swan, what do you make of that analysis?
Well, I'm surprised that a free market economist like Paul has such faith in regulation. You only have to look at the regulators in the United States, who I believe helped to create the global crisis, to see that regulation is not a panacea. And really what's important is ownership and control. And basis of the simple figures I see in front of me, this merger would have destroyed at least $50 million in wealth, if not more. And we can see that because the Singapore Exchange has fallen in value by about 7% since the announcement. It's gone up in value by 7%, and the ASX has fallen in value by about 4%, leaving a difference of around 3%. So there's been a net gain in wealth of around 3% by the abolition of this merger, meaning that the market believes that the merger would have destroyed about 50 million or so in value. Admittedly, that is destruction is taking place in Singapore. But what I think it indicates is that this is not a commercially motivated merger, not one where the ASX can expect to be well run or for Australians to get any benefits out of this. In fact, far from it. I think it's purely a political fix by Singapore. They've announced that they want Singapore to succeed as the regional financial hub for Asia. Of course, the Australian government's announced the same thing for Australia's role. These two governments are in direct conflict here. The inquiry recently conducted by the Australian government said that one of the reasons for our poor performance was lack of innovation by the ASX. Now, if ASX is controlled by the very people who don't want us to succeed, and by a very bureaucratic, political-run organisation, things are going to be very, very, very bad for Australian companies, I believe.
Paul Keren, do you accept that? That, look, maybe this wasn't an appropriate marriage because they didn't really like each other very much and they weren't interested in each other's greater good.
And the share prices have reflected that. But what I would say is the fact is most acquisitions fail to create value for the acquirer. Most of the, all of the money that's earned on average by acquisitions is actually paid to target shareholders because we have a fairly competitive market for corporate control. I don't care if, Singapore Stock Exchange share price would have gone down if this deal went through. The fact that it's gone up, given that this deal has been blocked, is an indication that it may not have created value overall, but it would have. ASX shareholders would have captured $2.3 billion of value if the deal had gone ahead.
This is The National Interest on ABC Radio National. We're discussing how the scrapped merger of the Australian Securities Exchange and the Singapore Stock Exchange, in light of the critical finding by Australia's Foreign Investment Review Board. My guests are economists Paul Keren and Peter Swan. Yeah, but Paul Keren, is it only about, value for stockholders? I mean, Wayne Swan, he said, this takeover would not enhance our access to global financial markets. This takeover would not deliver high-quality financial services jobs for Australia. This takeover would not build Australia as a financial services hub within Asia. The proposed takeover would risk seeing jobs and capital move to Singapore. And I'm not going to stand by and let this happen. These are legitimate concerns of a government. The share price isn't the be-all and end-all.
No, it's not, but it's a factor. And what I would say is I agree with virtually everything Wayne Swan said there. Most of those statements where he says it would not do this or it would not do that are benefits that the Singapore Stock Exchange claim would be, you know, the wonderful result of this deal, which I simply don't believe. I don't believe it would produce all of those benefits. It would produce $2.3 billion for ASX shareholders. In terms of the reasons why he said no, it was really about, do we have sufficient faith that regulators can actually regulate this system? And he didn't say no permanently. What he did was set up a working group, which is a typical government delay tactic. The working group is supposed to say, well, how can we make sure that regulators can make sure we've got an efficient capital market if a deal did go ahead in future? So that working group may overcome some of the perceived problems that I don't think are there. It does mean ASX shareholders are worse off. By the way, the jobs argument, frankly, Singapore Stock Exchange and ASX together only employ about 1,000 people. ASX probably employs about 500. Given that we're near full employment here, not really any jobs are not really a reason for saying no.
Peter Swan?
Paul, some very preliminary work I'm doing with Ron Masoulas, one of our new acquisitions, actually disputes your statement and disputes the standard finding that acquirers lose and targets gain in the event of takeover. Basically, our methodology adopts what has happened here with the takeover failure and shows that when takeovers fail, that both the acquirer and the target lose money, indicating that both have suffered a considerable loss of synergistic gains that are shared roughly equal between the two parties. So if this had been, or this merger was creating the wealth that the Singapore claimed, then I would have supported it, because all of those things that the Treasurer stated wouldn't have been true. There would have been net wealth creation. Australian markets would be helped. But, of course, we would be... What reality is, this is just a political fix, and we're also denying much better acquisition partners out there, whether it be London Stock Exchange and perhaps their attempt to get Toronto, which would bring together all the mineral companies listed in the world onto the one market, or whether it be NASDAQ, who might be acquiring NYSE, or these other partnerships will create a lot more value for Australian shareholders and Australian stock market. It'll be a lot better run. We won't see this loss of liquidity and falling asset values because of bad management of the exchange. It's got nothing to do with regulators. It's the exchanges that decide on the trading rules and decide on the wealth destruction from very bad rules, which are the sort of rules that the Singapore exchange has been implementing, because it's run by bureaucrats, for bureaucrats. It's not run entrepreneurially, nor is the ASX.
Okay, we've been talking about the Singapore bid, but let's talk about the big picture regulatory framework about how the ASX should be organised. Do you both agree that they should remove the 15% cap and let market forces decide the ownership of the ASX rather than the bureaucrats and what have you?
Well, certainly I agree. This has been my point from the outset, that there's no free market here, that this is just a cosy relationship between friends who run the ASX and those who, their mutual friends who run the Singapore exchange, and the Singapore government, for reasons known to itself, is putting in a lot of money. And it's nothing to do with capitalism, it's nothing to do with markets, and it's denying us the opportunities for being part of some much more efficient, well-run global consortia.
Paul Keren.
I agree that we should remove the 15% cap. The issue, though, is it's really up to the ASX board to advise their shareholders. They can say, look, you can take this deal on the table. You know, the fallback option is we lobby the government to get the 15% cap lifted, and then hopefully someone will make a higher bid and we'll all be even better off than the $2.3 billion currently on the table. The issue is, from an ASX share director point of view, I'd have to ask myself, well, what's the chances of getting the 15% cap lifted if we don't have a deal on the table? My issue is having a deal on the table makes it easier, or I should say harder, for politicians to say no to lifting the 15% cap. If it's a theoretical exercise where there's no bid on the table and a politician says, well, let's get rid of the 15% cap, it's a lot easier for politicians to say no. So if that is the case, ASX directors may well be acting in their own shareholders' interests, even though there could be a higher bid on the table if there was no 15% cap, by recommending this bid.
Well, I'm afraid that's all we have time for today. Peter Swan and Paul Keren, thank you both for joining me in the National Interest.
Right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Really, really good. Thank you. Bye.
Peter Swan, Professor of Finance at the Australian School of Business at the University of New South Wales, and Paul Keren is Professorial Fellow at the Melbourne Business School at the University of Melbourne. And if you'd like to have your say on the proposed merger, feel free to leave a message at our website. Just go to abc.net.au/rn/national interest, or you can leave a message on our feedback line, 1300 936 222, 1300 936 222.